So, we're recording this episode 18. I think it's 18. Don't make me look this up. Don't make me look this up. Even though I have all the podcast episodes on my hard drive, on my laptop, and I could easily do that right now, but just don't make me, because I don't want to, and you should respect my agency. But
in fact, he's going to take more time explaining his agency than it actually would take to, like, look it up online.
Hence the point of agency.
Exactly.
Is someone opening a Butterfinger in the background? Or am I the only one who heard that?
So, the two other voices you heard. First off, Devin Jessup is back after missing last week because he was dead or something.
Shut up!
And, you know, he spent the week leaving smart-ass comments on other people's Facebook photos. And
I'm playing to my strengths.
That was a thing that happened. And we also have... Tim Jeffcoat, or Soko, as he's more well known around the it's his Shadowrunner name.
It is.
See, whatever. See, at least you guys got that reference, because I don't think anyone listening.
there's got to be somebody who's listening who understands that.
I'm pretty sure that our already small group of listeners have already turned it off.
Mom,
and I'm done.
Mom, I will explain what Shadowrun is later.
It doesn't have much Satanism in it.
Much. But anyway, we're like I said, we're recording this on Friday, June 19th, and you're going to see this Sunday, June 21st. Right now, I currently am watching Ruby De La Rosa get squiffy against the Padres in the top of the fifth inning. By the time you hear this, you will have known what already happens this ending, but I do not. But, you know, we're podcasting, we're having fun, having a good time, grooving. And I'm definitely not adding in a bunch of adjectives that we're not doing to fill time. But let's just start with, you know, our usual thing of recapping the past week of Diamondbacks. But for us, the past week of Diamondbacks is... those four games against the Angels. So to you guys, what stood out to you in those games that you saw, heard about, absorbed, etc.?
The irony that one of the Angels' outfielders is a former Sun Devil.
That's fair.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I got. Look, it's Women World Cup right now. I don't give a shit about baseball.
You know, I mean, I'm always glad when we split games. I always weirded out by the whole, hey, let's play two games and then fly somewhere, play two games against the exact same team. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, did the Diamondbacks and the Angels, like, share a plane on that flight?
That would only be responsible, but, you know, MLB with their hoity-toity largesse and whatnot... they're probably like, no, we're going to take 15 separate plays, one for each, you know, five people on each roster, and we're going to power it by whale blubber and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I appreciate them supporting the obviously struggling industry of people who create, you know, make oil from whale blubber.
Yeah.
That's really been on the downslide, I think, since...
yeah. MLB has always had strong connections to Japan, so big ups.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I think it makes sense. It speaks well to the tradition of the game, I guess.
True.
But on the other hand, I don't know, there's a joke to be made here, something carbon footprint the size of my ass, I don't know.
Baseball games are so long, they're like Moby Dick? No?
No.
Eh.
Damn it.
They're like Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged. No. Okay.
I feel like Charlie has unintentionally stepped on a landmine here.
You have. Golf is more like Atlas Shrugged.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Does anyone in this podcast like Atlas Shrugged? Because I actually...
God, no.
Yeah, okay, good. We're all on the same page.
I was going to say, golf is much like Atlas Shrugged in that it is frequently passed down, but from... rich white men to yes. their annoying rich white sons.
Yes. It is for rich, hoity-toity people who talk about nothing but it, and they think it's hot shit, and it's super long and boring, and I hate it. Please stop talking to me about it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then, well, we just saw Ruby De La Rosa. I saw Ruby De La Rosa. Charlie did. I don't know if Tim's watching the game, but he just walked in a run, which...
I'm not. Actually, on my TV right now is a blue screen, and it says no signal, and it's moving kind of around the screen like a screensaver.
I envy you.
It might be, you know, it must be sort of calming and hypnotic.
It is, yeah. It's...
But, yeah, my thoughts on the Angel series, I actually put in my Monday recap that one replay review, the one with the play of Pollock at home, was pretty much as long as the John Galt speech, because it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you remember anything from your recap already, because I just wrote mine yesterday and I've already forgot it.
I remember, like, things that I intentionally put in there, like, ooh, that's clever.
But I found that if you actually include the comments, ooh, that's clever, tee hee, it doesn't necessarily play as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've generally found that once you get past, like, the basic intro, and as long as you don't screw up any basic facts about the game, mm-hmm. you can put anything in there and no one will say anything.
See, that is pretty true, given some of the recaps we have written.
Yes.
See, yeah, my recap formula is intro is the meat right during the game. Like, you know, this happened. Mostly scoring plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Injuries if they happen, that kind of thing. Here's the starting pitcher's final line, etc. Then it's like add intro that sort of foreshadows what happened. Add Fangraphs thing. Add roll call thing. Add pithy outro, publish, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Which is really weird when you get those afternoon games and you fall asleep at like 7 o'clock at night.
Which is kind of fine sometimes because just gotta sleep if you can.
I'm just saying, I mean, if hypothetically there was somebody stalking you from outside of your apartment window, they would be really bored. And also recommend that you might want to get different shades, because these ones are kind of broken. I mean, those the ones you have might be broken.
Might be broken.
Might, also, yeah, just look into it.
Also, why did you heat up your leftover pizza? Just eat it cold, like a normal person.
Come on, what do you think? You're fancy?
Yeah.
You think you're better than us?
I think you're so high class with your microwave and
La-ti-da.
Your warm pizza with the melted cheese.
And hey, you know,
just have hot toppings on this pizza, as opposed to being a civilized person and eating it from the fridge. Not even you put it on a plate, man. Just eat it from a box.
You don't even have any Hot Pockets on your pizza.
I did have leftover pizza. I did heat it up. So what the hell? Like, before Devin came on, that actually happened while we were waiting. But I was going to say, you know where I got my microwave? Pretty fancy. I got it at a thrift store.
Nice.
$25.
So what you're saying is you're saying it's vintage.
It's kind of, yeah. It's got one of those rotating glass things for that, I guess, makes it heat up better for some reason.
It's a turntable.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I
add another one and a microphone, you're all set.
That is where it's at.
Yeah, that's right. Your podcast for timely musical references.
Anyway, Angel series, right, that's a thing. That was a thing. It's hard to sort of delve into anything too meaningful from that, because, like,
it's really hard to delve into anything when none of us really watched the game.
I saw the first two games, so...
That is probably two more than I saw.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim.
I'm watching this game.
Yeah, see? Devin's on top of things. But, you know, you split four games against a team that is a somewhat close close to the quality of your team. The team you like, I should say, or whatever. But, so yeah, that's fine. But there's a lot of angst about, you know, anytime the Diamondbacks are a game under 500, they keep losing, which is like, okay, yeah, but it's like, you should be more angsty about those random series against the Dodgers where they get swept. That's sort of like the main reason that these situations keep coming up.
Yeah. But I guess on the other hand, the level of discourse and people's opinion before the season started, people were expecting like the Diamondbacks to barely be able to walk. So that they're kind of near 500 is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cool with it. They, I mean, they are ahead of the Padres, both in this game and in the standings, again, at the time of recording. So, you know, that's kind of cool, too, because, you know, as we mentioned last week, the Padres did their big, their hey, big spender kind of thing, and the Diamondbacks just, you know, were throwing things off a plane so that, you know, there'd be enough fuel to get to the landing strip.
Right.
it's actually, they were fueled by whale oil.
Yeah.
And Kevin Towers wasn't fired, he was arrested. Because the feds caught onto him.
Yeah.
He's actually, we say he's with another team, but he's actually in jail.
Well, he is the GM of the Lawrence Prison softball team, so, you know, it's still technically true.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, he's traded away all the good players for it. But he's got, like, 10 shortstops.
Several of them got traded to solitary.
He's got 10 shortstops who are all in there for minor white-collar crime.
Right.
And Eric Burns, who came by one time for a visitor's day and just got turned around and they haven't let him out yet.
Yeah.
Good. Anyway, yeah, that sort of, you know, wraps up the Angels series. Again, when we do these weird short weeks, it's kind of hard to recap, but...
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah?
They know what this is. We don't need to apologize to them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. This being the only Diamondbacks podcast in the world, you're stuck with us. I don't need you to correct me on that. But, Devin, I actually wanted to ask you specifically something, because you missed this discussion last week, and you made a comment about it.
Is this about Pro Stars?
Yes, it is.
Because Pro Stars was one of, like, the greatest cartoons of what is it, late 80s, early 90s?
Early 90s.
Yeah. I have been for all of my life a Broncos fan, but the simple fact of the matter is Bo Jackson was one of the greatest athletes of all time. And he was just amazing to watch. And then he was in cartoon form on TV with Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan. And it was amazing.
I actually watched the first episode of that after we recorded the podcast. It was on YouTube. the main takeaway I have from it was that the villain's name was Professor Clockwork Orange. Which, kids, you're not old enough to get that reference. Don't ask your parents yet. But, yeah, I just remember, like, being really young and seeing, like, reruns, because when I saw the Wikipedia page, it didn't run for that long, just, like, a few months on NBC.
It was 13 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they managed to get 13 episodes worth of material out of that.
Well, you get, you know, the standard cartoon, vaguely Captain Planet-y kind of trope, superhero thing. And there's certain standby stories you can use. And I'm sure if Joseph Campbell was alive, he'd have, like, a big breakdown of Pro Stars.
You know what? I want to go back to college now and get my master's degree of the hero's journey of the Pro Stars as my thesis.
I'm sure if I ever have a column and I, like, really struggling for ideas, I might do that. So that sounds more like in Tim's wheelhouse than mine, but since we both have vaguely defined weekly columns.
Yes. Very, very vaguely defined. I would say my general aesthetic right now for my column is take something and then treat it really seriously, but just ramp it up at the end so crazily where people are like, is this real? Should I take it seriously?
There's a certain amount of pose law that comes to effect.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, I just want to say you might want to look into watching some of the later ProStars episodes, too, because I'm looking at the summaries on Wikipedia. Episode 12, Clockwork de l'Orange has returned. This time, he's stolen the famous Stanley Cup. It is up to the ProStars to skate into action and get it back.
Only one of them skates, though.
Okay, first, are you trying to tell me Bo Jackson couldn't skate if he wanted to?
I don't know. I've never met Bo Jackson.
Pre-injury, sure, maybe.
You know who does know, though?
Bo knows.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Bo no. Anyway, I think this is a good time to delve into random questions. Because it's Friday night. We have nothing better to do. And, yeah, I'm just in a t-shirt and shorts like a person who's not given up on life. Nope, not me. anyway, so this is from the GDT. This is from Pirate Dance 7. And this is sort of more in the blue of questions that I like, but we'll answer the other ones too, but I want to answer this one first. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Is it because they long to be close to you? Discuss. Now, my answer is just solar panels. but seriously, sometimes I am on team birds because they could or throw out of nowhere, scare the crap out of you, jump in front of your car, steal your girlfriend, etc., etc.
I once had a bird like literally fly into my car.
Yeah.
Like not like a window, but actually just into
the side of the car. Like you had the window open. Yeah.
No, not like into the car. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay.
The bird was the Randy Johnson fastball. My car was the bird.
Gotcha.
Except my car was not destroyed by the bird.
There was a little bit of crackling when you said the question, and I thought you said, why do bears appear every time you are near?
In that case, it's obviously because they're Rockies fans.
Yeah, I was getting a little confused.
Well, you can answer that as well. I mean,
I don't know.
Birds suddenly appear every time I'm near for two reasons, actually. One, because I'm in a John Woo movie. Two, I am actually one of the world's most skilled aviomancers.
Birds always appear around me because I am actually just bird feed in a trench coat.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. You know, I just remembered because birds baseball podcast basically thinking of San Francisco because every time there's a game at AT&T Park, seagulls show up to, you know, try to murder all the things or whatever they do. But then I remembered, I was in San Francisco last year, I don't ever recall seeing a seagull or many of them at once. So that's...
Charlie, the seagulls saw you, though.
Yeah, that's what freaked me out.
Yeah, it sounds like the Giants need to invest in some cats.
Yeah.
And then when the cats get too much, they can just release, like, dogs to chase them off.
But then when the dogs get too much...
Crocodiles.
And then when the winter gets cold enough, the crocodiles will just die off in their sleep.
I don't think it really gets super cold in San Francisco.
Have you ever been there in the summer?
Oh, yes, it does.
I've been there in the summer, and it's pretty nice.
Well, we're talking relative, I guess, but still, I mean, it does get cold there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure there are times when it gets cold enough to kill a goddamn crocodile. It's not like a frozen tundra there. And they, they could give them little crocodile snuggies.
Crocodile snuggies. That could be the giveaway for one of the games.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
Now, Snuggy made out of crocodile hide.
That's just, that's cruel.
That seems like that would not be well. That would not be well accepted in California. But they would be free range crocodiles. So,
and I'm guessing you'd have to use a lot of water someplace, and they're not too big on that right now for good and obvious reasons. But yeah,
true.
So, this is a random off topic. But did you like? Either of you see, I think it was a New York Times article about now that California's imposed those water restrictions, there are a bunch of sort of rich people who are not very fond of that.
It was Washington Post, but yeah.
For the dumbest goddamn reasons.
Yeah. Look, I've got like 5 acres here, and you could fit, like, I don't know, 20 families on this. And think about how much water they would use.
Yeah. It's like, well, what if our lawn's all branded stuff? It's like, mother effer, nobody cares about your lawn. I come from Arizona, where people with lawns should be ostracized even more so.
Yeah, but the rich damn mouth.
But the whole thing sort of reads like a, it sort of reads like the first paragraph of like a of evidence at a tribunal post revolution.
It kind of reads to me like. Jonathan Swift started writing out a sequel to A Modest Proposal, and I was just like, no, this is too outlandish. I'm just going to write about, I don't know, a guy who goes to a land where he's a giant.
That was his first draft.
But yeah, that was just a random side of it made me think of that.
I mean, if we do want to get slightly serious, which I know, God forbid, but... It's a ridiculous piece, and the people are ridiculous, but at the same time, I kind of understand their position just from the standpoint that the biggest water users in California or in general are not necessarily single-family homes and golf courses and things like that. So, that people go out of their way to shame single-family homeowners as opposed to farmers is a little bit
well, it's weird. It's all like sort of walnut. Sort of, is it almonds? I think, that's
almonds, avocados. Yeah. I mean, they're high water use sort of crops. But farming uses tons of water, and the water rights in California are ridiculous. And I'm not going to get into it because Liz is going to roll her eyes at me. But
I mean, also the other thing that personally I watch living in Las Vegas is. It's kind of almost surreal about how there is this going on. There's the water, like, I mean, Vegas isn't as bad with the water restrictions, but I mean, there is a lot of concern about Lake Mead and how low it is. But then at the same time, I'm like, wow, look at how many fountains there are. There's like 18 fountains within a 500 foot radius of you. I have one on my patio. I'm legally required to have it there. It's really annoying when it goes off at like 3 a.m. and the fireworks wake everyone up.
Yeah. Sounds like that would actually be a burden.
Yeah.
We should call the Washington Post.
We should.
I mean, you still have...
Washington Post, we need a column.
I mean, you do have a point there, Tim, but the overriding point is that...
Oh, no, I get the overriding point, and it's easy and it's fun to make fun of silly rich people. So I'm totally down with that, but at the same time, from a practical standpoint... Like, I can kind of understand where they're coming from in that, why are we going out of our way to shame these people when they don't even really use that much water in comparison to the whole? But, ha ha ha.
But the same time,
it's still funny.
But at the same time, it's like, water use, but you know, like I said, people complain about their lawns, you know, not looking
green. Yeah, no, I mean, it's the silliest thing.
It's just.
So you have a brown lawn. Oh, well.
Anyway, more GDT questions, I think.
What, you don't want to get more political?
Not.
Let's talk about the presidential nominees.
Let's do it.
If you're listening to this right now, I think there's a 1 in maybe 15 chance you are running for president.
I would like to take this. I would take like to take this opportunity now to announce my candidacy. This is the first. I'm sorry. Next year will be the first election I am legally allowed to be president. So, let's do this.
The problem, though, Devin, is the way this works is you have to run the GOP. Because there ain't room right now on the Democratic side.
Yeah, I know. I'd be like sitting off to the side with Bernie Sanders. Like, man, why don't we get attention? No, I'm just gonna. I'm starting my my own party. Yeah. I'm calling for a return to monarchy in this country. And I will only run for one term as president because halfway through I will have myself coronated as king.
You will abolish the nation. Is being king of Canada not enough for you?
Well, they haven't been stepping up to it, so you know what? Maybe I just have to start here. Change starts at home, Tim. My campaign slogan will be, don't worry about it, I got this. Ask me my stance on any topic. Don't worry about it. I got this.
Let's go to another GDT question.
Sorry.
No, I think we're good here. I think Jim would just be ecstatic about this conversation.
Well, Jim is from the United Kingdom. I assume he's a supporter of the monarchy as well. He's going to vote for me.
Oh yeah, he's Scottish. They love those people.
Yeah. They're totally all about it.
he's always like, God save the lizard people.
This comes from JoeCB 1991. Why is Chip Hale allergic to playing Jake Lamb against left-handed pitchers? Now, he lives in Arizona. He went to college in Arizona. He's presumably spent a lot of time in Arizona. Allergies can be a real bastard here, especially this time of year and, like, a few months earlier because, you know, pollen's high. And so, you know, he could bat Jake Lamb against left-handed pitchers, but then, you know, the stuff in the air, he gets all sniffly and, might break out in hives and stuff. So, you know, yeah, maybe stunt a player's development, but you can't discount. You don't want a manager sneezing when he should be, you know, called for a replay or something.
Well, technically, yeah. I mean, in this case, I don't know if we worry about sneezing, but I mean, like having a sense, you know, Jake Lamb, having a sensitivity to wool is an actual thing. It can cause, like, a lot of skin irritation if you're very sensitive to it. So maybe that's. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe Jake Lamb just rubs him the wrong way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Vaudeville hook.
I have nothing to add to that. I think we've sufficiently covered that one.
I that's a question that you probably wanted a serious answer to, but we're 18 episodes into this thing. I was more than ready to spend 20 minutes talking about the aforementioned smart-ass comment that Devin left on a Facebook picture because I had nothing this week.
No. You do not have nothing. You do not have nothing until you are doing a play-by-play of a game that is going on while you're doing your podcast.
Who would do that?
Cool people, I assume.
But you see, Devin, those are three people that weren't me. Anyways, it's funny because, like, the only people who listen to this who are Facebook friends with me are, like, you guys, so nobody knows what we're talking about.
But it's still funny.
It's hilarious.
Yep.
Okay, we had one question on Twitter, which I may as well, you know, humor. did I say humor? I meant to, answer earnestly. This comes from Trevor on Twitter under the handle tbark6. He asks, how do you see the bullpen shaping about for the rest of the year? And Toko, you actually put an answer down before the fact, but I kind of want you to expand on it.
Well, he said, how are they shaping up, or how do we see them shaping up this year? And the first thing that popped in my mind is that Penny Arcade comic where Gabe describes rectangles as, or rhombuses as, how a bitch would drive a rectangle.
Jeez.
And I don't know why, it just popped in my head. And, you know, it's not appropriate, but...
But
it has to do with shapes. And I don't really know anything about bullpens. I don't know anything about baseball. What is baseball?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a more philosophical question we would need to dedicate an entire episode to.
I think I could dedicate a good 2,200 words to that.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see how they want to use David Hernandez. I don't know how they want to do the closure thing. I don't know if Addison Reed, why he hasn't been shot to Saturn yet.
Once I am elected your king / president / whatever title you want to give with it, I will shoot Addison Reed to Saturn.
Why just go with Saturn? Because I said it. Why not say, I'm going to shoot Addison Reed to Pluto? I'm going to shoot Addison Reed to the Oort cloud.
Okay. First off, Pluto is way too far away. It is a very small target. I am not certain we have the accuracy of our bullpen pitcher launching technology to direct it towards Pluto. And I would not want to make such a promise that I will shoot Addison Reed to Pluto and then accidentally shoot him off into the depths of space. That's not the kind of president / king / I don't know, super chairman of Funmerica that I want to be.
Liz's suggestion Saturday in the background was to treat him like Old Yeller, so...
Wait, you want us to make a bunch of school children cry with his stories of him?
I think he already does that.
Take him out back, tie him to a tree... No, he's
frothing at the mouth, trying to bite you.
It's okay. Addison Reed is... It's okay, kids. Addison Reed is going to go to his farm upstate.
Join the team.
Select your gun, and then select Addison Reed.
This got dark.
But again, nice Benny Arcade reference.
Yeah. Also, but I don't know how the bullpen is shaping up, because this is kind of a vaguely serious answer that includes some actual baseball analysis, and for that I apologize, but bullpens are volatile, so who knows what the hell's going to happen. That's it.
I feel like, and this is probably totally wrong, and someone's going to comment in the comment section with like some really long paragraph, and there's going to be graphs and stuff. But my general feeling is that the bullpen's not been too bad outside of weird Addison Reed hiccups. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like if they can figure out a way to get him into situations where he can't hurt anyone.
Take him out back.
He's got the big eyes. He's looking up at you like, "You were supposed to be my friend," and you're petting his head. It's going to be okay, Addison.
And then
it's going to be okay.
And in a couple of seasons, we'll go to that part of the lawn. There'll be a big red fern.
There'll be a big red fern right there.
I'm going to go with the idea that I think our bullpen will, I don't know exactly how it will shape up, but it will definitely be a non-Euclidean, somewhat chthonic shape that may inspire terror and madness in the hearts of all who look upon it.
I just thought of a metaphor for Addison Reed. he came in being hyped as this, he's like this clean cut guy, you know, he's gonna shape everything up, and then oh god, he just got drunk and crashed his Mustang into a McDonald's. Repeatedly. Into the playpen.
Addison Reed is kind of like Hawkeye in that...
Wait a minute. Okay, where's this going?
You didn't even let me finish.
Addison Reed is kind of like Josie and the Pussycats in that he's not very good.
Oh,
yeah. I went there.
Devin, no. Do not.
Why are you coming at my boy?
Why are you coming at my girls?
I was going to say, Addison Rae's walk rate does not make me think he's Hawkeye. Because Hawkeye's at least known for accuracy, and, yeah.
And also uselessness.
Please, can we just have one nice meal together?
Actually, I take it back. Addison Rae doesn't remind me of Josie and the Pussycats, because Addison Rae actually produces hits.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I'm done. And there's Addison Rae on TV.
Oh, no.
I hope he's not listening to this.
That was serendipitous. Let's end as we, you know, as is our wont, to look at the next week's games. But it's the Dodgers of the Rockies, so who gives a shit? But, I mean...
Yeah, no, it's actually to the Dodgers and the Padres, because, you know, we haven't seen the Padres recently.
Well, okay, what week are we? Oh, Rockies and Padres. Wow, I was a week ahead.
We've got Monday off. We head to Denver to, of course, re-enter the horror sphere that is known as the domain of Pope Dinger the First. and then we head down to San Diego for 3 games.
Those are both nice vacation spots at certain times of year. That's all I got.
Yeah, yeah.
This time of the year, specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comparatively to where we are, at least.
Yeah.
I guess that depends on how you feel about 115-degree weather.
I'm not a fan!
Not a fan?
Nobody should be.
What do you feel about 115-degree weather and sort of underlying racism?
I was just thinking about the slight thing.
You're lying? Wow, you're really optimistic about our
game. I was just thinking of the contrarian slight think piece. Why 115-degree weather is actually good?
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think of it because it keeps, like, it because people don't want to go outdoors, so we congregate together in buildings, and it builds a sense of community.
Mm.
And the sense of community is based solely around the premise of, oh, bad word here, it's so bad wording hot outside. And I don't know, that's a good icebreaker, but it's not like, I don't think it's the basis for lasting connections. I could be wrong.
It's actually a terrible icebreaker because by the time you get halfway through it, the ice is already freaking melted.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's all familiar faces, I think, up until we hit, yeah, for like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're in the middle of that sort of division division rival swing. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Unless we hack into the schedule, I don't know. That was the thing that happened last week.
My sunglasses are in the car, so I can't, like, put them on, mash blindly at my keyboard and go, I'm in.
I need to get into the mainframe!
I'm going to use this strangely graphical interface to hack in. Instead of mundanely type... commands for hours.
Type.
Instead of writing SQL queries.
you're going to hire a Decker to hack in for us.
Ooh.
Yeah? Bringing it back to the Shadowrun.
That was good.
Yeah.
As we begin, so we end. It's a circle. It's a snake eating itself. Which is apropos, because our team is named after snakes.
Oh.
I
think that's a good one.
No. All right, I think we're good.
All right.
Good stuff. So, between us recording this podcast and you listening to it right now, nothing happened for the Diamondbacks. Absolutely nothing. Especially not Saturday around 09 p.m. I have no idea what you're talking about. And if we were, we probably won't talk about it on next week's episode, because nothing happened! Bye.
There's a plugin for Chrome that replaces millennials with snake people. So you get things like, you get headlines like, let me find the page because some of them are brilliant. Baby boomers invite snake people to their office party, but many don't stay long. Whole Foods plans new chain to court snake people. So, 7 facts every business should know about snake people.